I ain't planning on moving either, so we'll just have to put up with it, I guess. But the bad thing about it was getting up on Sunday, because we don't think nothing about it. I mean, truly, a 2-foot snow in the mountains of North Carolina is just common at least once a year, and anything from that on down many times. And so that's when you get out and have fun up there. So we didn't think nothing about it. We got out, but the thing that aggravated me, we put on our Christmas best. I had my authentic buck deer suit on with a white tail. My wife had on her. Yeah. My wife had on her Christmas hat with the turkey feathers and pine cones and mistletoe hanging off from it. Wish you could have seen us. So we pulled up. We just whistling, coming on through, looking forward to it. We got here and the sun and cheese bacon. So we voted while we was here. Voted to leave and go get something to eat. But somebody said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So it is even much more sweeter on a Wednesday night when you've not been able to be here on a Sunday. And so we praise the Lord for the desire to go to God's house. That's what I'm thankful for, that when I get up on Sunday morning, I'm not wanting to lay around. I want to go to the house of the Lord. And on Wednesday night, and thank God for that opportunity. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. By the way, I was joking about that hat and that suit. Had to clear that up before I got home. Everybody'd be wanting a picture of that, wouldn't you? Isaiah chapter number 9. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse number 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is born. Given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You can be seated. I want to preach for a few moments tonight on this matter of the birth of the Son. The birth of the Son. Of course, we realize that this birth was planned a long time ago. It was planned in eternity. This birth was predicted to Eve when God said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent." This birth of this baby was promised in Abraham. As we find in our text, the birth of this child was pronounced in David. He would reign on the throne forever. This birth was proclaimed to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible is filled with the truth about the birth of this son and this baby. If you were to take the baby out of the book, it'd be like taking the blood out of the body. It would have no meaning. But I'm glad of all the births that have ever been, and there have been billions. I'm glad for the record of the birth of the Son, aren't you? There are three things that I want to bring to your attention concerning the birth of Jesus. The birth of God's Son. I want us to notice, as is emphasized in the first clause of verse number 6, that the birth of this son and of this child, I want you to notice, first of all, to whom this child was born. Normally, when a child, a son, is born into this world, the husband, the wife, the mother, the father become the possessors of that child. That child belongs to them to train and to teach. But I notice in this text that it reaches further than the boundaries of just a mother or just a home or even a nation. I notice that the birth of this child, the Scripture said, for unto us. A child is born, unto us a son is given. Now I'm glad that Mary and Joseph could lay claim to this Christ child. And I realize that the shepherds also were able to lay claim to this Christ child. Even Simeon held him in his arms in the temple. But really, no one individual can solely lay claim to the birth of this son. Because this son reaches further than an individual, a family, or even a nation. He said, unto us. I often say that there are only three sets of Williamses in this world. Did you know that? One is those that are highly intelligent. Two is those who are filthy rich. And then there's us. And I notice in the text, and I'm glad that I can be classified and categorized and be brought under the shelter and the umbrella of the us. In a personal way. That we can say this son was not just born for that day or for that individual or for that community or for that religion or for that nation. But thank God Jesus was born for us. So it begs the question, if Jesus was born for you, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It begs the question, do you have the Son? Do you possess the Son? Do you claim the Son as your own? Why not? He was given so that you could. And I'm glad to report to you tonight that I have the Son. For unto us. I wonder tonight if you're one of us's or one of the us's that can lay claim to this child for whom Christ was born. Think about that. Unto us. unto us, do you have the Son? I thought not only as to whom this child was born for, this Son was given unto us. But I thought about when this Son was given and this child was born. I, of course, realize that when we look into the Old Testament, when the prophet Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, any of the prophets, when they prophesied of the coming of the king, they did not see that gap between his first coming and his second coming. They couldn't comprehend the grace age. They only seen him, and that, by the way, that's why the Pharisees missed him. They could not imagine that a king would be born in a stable, in a manger, be born of a family of poverty and so on. They thought that he would burst on the scene in royalty. But they didn't realize that he was coming first to suffer and to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. You and I understand that. They did not know that. So when Jesus came on the scene, when he was birthed and born, as the Scriptures predicted and prophesied, as he came on the scene there at Bethlehem, we realize that he was born during the time of a monarchy. This baby came into this world when it was already filled with kings who were trying to rule and reign over their little dominions. Kings who had determined that they were going to be superior. And that's why Herod had such a problem with Jesus being born king of the Jews. He wanted to dispose of him. He came when there were all kinds of other supremes, at least who laid claim on being king. He came when there were the monarchs who seemed to suppress and seemed to hold down in bondage all of Israel. And of course, you know the history of the setting of the birth of Christ, that the nation of Israel is under Roman rule. Under Roman rule. And as a matter of fact, that's the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, is because his mother Mary and Joseph were to go back to their homestead to do what? Pay their taxes. Do you realize that the Son came on the scene on tax day? Well, if you ever need Jesus, you need Him on April the 15th. I guarantee you that. The baby was born with all of these kings, and born when the Israel's having to migrate back to his hometowns and having to rake and scrape and having to pay the taxes. Sounds like a world that you and I live in now, that we seem to be locked into, of which we are a part of the system, and we're having to spin our wheels just to survive in society. This baby stepped on the scene, not only a time of governmental suppression, but stepped on the scene during a time of satanic oppression. I believe that Satan was doing his work probably more during the time of the birth of Christ and his life on earth than any other previous time, before or after. We see Jesus' confrontation with the satanic works of the devil as he possessed the children or the maniac of Gadara. Seemed like the devil was rampant and having his way in all of the land. Also sounds like a day in which you and I live in, where it seems like that the devil seems to have his hand in everything. Whether we're talking about the political realm or the educational realm or the financial realm or even the national realm, the whole globe, it seems like he's sort of moving and having his way on every front. This is the time of which Jesus stepped on the scene. I'm glad that Jesus came to me in my predicament, aren't you? I'm glad the Son is still coming, no matter what the situation is that you're in. He's still coming to dethrone the kings and the queens and the powers that be from your heart and your life. He's still coming to set you free from the systems of this world. He's still coming as He is taken from the devil, even death itself. He's still coming to deliver us from the evil forces of oppression. I'm glad He came to me. A son is given. Unto us a child is born. Why? Because God knew that we would have these circumstances. And even as again He said to those shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Why? Because if there's anything this world needed, it was a Savior. Said again, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? "For He shall save His people from their sins." We've been given a son. We've been given a child. For whatever the circumstances and situations that we're facing in our lives. I'm glad that's so, aren't you? He came during a time of satanic oppression, governmental oppression, and religious repression. Religion was vibrant on the scene when Jesus came. But isn't it amazing that the number one enemy of Christ was not the drunkard, nor the harlot, nor the sinner, but it was the Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests. And God help us not to play the religious role till we come to the place where we become the enemies of Christ and the Son of God. Most churches don't realize it, that when you walk in there, they are anti what Christ would have done in that church. And brother, you can sense it. And I'm glad that He was sent in a time of which men and women and boys and girls needed to know who He was. They needed something real. Something that would work. Something that would deliver them from evil. Something that would cleanse them of their sins. Something that would touch their eyesight. Something that would open up their hearing. They needed something real. I'm here to tell you, we don't need any more religious programs. We need something real. Something real. He came during a time of economical depression. We know that His mother Mary and Joseph were poor. And one of the ways that we know that they were poor is because when they came to offer the sacrifices that were required for the male child, there were several offerings that you could give. If you were well off, you could give a bullock, and or you could give a ram, a larger animal. But the least of the sacrifices that would be given was if you offered up the turtle doves or the birds, of which were sold in the temple. One of the reasons Jesus turned the table over, because even religion had taken that out of bounds. And so they offered not the sacrifices of the wealthy, but they offered the sacrifices of the poor. They were poor. But Jesus doesn't mind, the Son doesn't mind living with the poor. He doesn't mind the neighborhood that you live in. For is born. Unto us he is given. Though it may be times of poverty, maybe the devil's on, he's working and on a rampage. Maybe there's suppression and oppression and depression. But thank God that's what the Son's given for. He's come to deliver us from all of that. He's come to be real within our hearts and real within our lives. He is the Son. Now, we think about this Son that is given to us, to whom He was given. We think about this Son and as to when He was given. But I want us to notice this Son as to who He was that was given. Now, many of us here tonight, we have children. And some of us have sons. But I want to say to you that there has never been a son born anywhere close to this Son. Now, this is the birth of the Son of God that's like no other birth that has ever taken place. This is not your ordinary, everyday child that has been given. Now, I hope that you love your son. You're proud of your son. I hope your son knows the Lord and is serving the Lord. But for whatever the circumstances is, none of us have a son equal to this Son. He is quite different than all other sons. Think about it. And He is the Son that is given to you, and He is the Son that's given unto me. But I'm afraid that at Christmas time, if we're not careful, we'll celebrate the Son that was born 2,000 years ago. We'll sing about the Son that was in the manger. We'll sing about the Son that was in the cradle. We'll sing about the Son of those days, those bygone days, and it'll just be a little religious get-together Christmas time of memory of a child that was born back then, to which, really, once you get beyond Christmas, you're beyond the Son. The Son doesn't have any purpose. But I'm here to tell you, we weren't given a Son to come on Sunday morning and talk about Him. But He is our Son, not only on Sunday morning, but thank God this Son is meant to be real in your life on Monday morning. Amen. This Son is to be alive in your life on Tuesday morning. This Son is to operate in your heart and life. For unto us a child, unto us a son is given for the rest of the week. He is to be there and real and vibrant. He's the Son. I'm glad that I possess the Son, because I need the Son. And that's why the Son was given. For unto us, this Son is born. Now, again, I say this Son is like no other son you have ever known about in the physical sense. But thank God, if you know Him in the spiritual sense, you know what I'm talking about. How important this Son is. You see, normally I think about the difference between the birth of this Son and all other births. Who this Son really is that we have and possess. Normally, you hold the baby when it's born. If you got a son and it's born, and maybe somebody's had some births this week, you hold the baby, don't you? But not this Son. In this case, it's the baby that's holding you. The government shall be upon his shoulders. What a difference it is. Normally, when you have a child, you teach and instruct that child. But not this son. He is given to teach and to instruct you, thank God. Notice what he said in verse number 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful there means miracle. He's the Counselor, which means he's all wise. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I'm talking about the Son. Normally, if you've got a child and a baby, if you do what's right, you'll take that child to church and hopefully take them to God. That's why you have your children here in the house of the Lord tonight. It's because you want to take them to God. But not this son. You don't take him to God. He come to take you to God. And thank God if you have the Son, then you are accepted in Him and you have that right to be in the presence of the Father. You're no stranger to heaven. Normally, when a child is born, you have to rule and instruct the child. Have authority over it, but not this baby. No, this son doesn't come to be told what to do. This son comes into your heart and life to take over. And you're not going to appreciate and enjoy the son in your life unless you let the son direct and guide and lead you as only he knows how to do, because the son was the one given to do that for you. Normally, if you have a child or a son, you'd be willing, in case of tragedy, to give your life for that child, wouldn't you? If it was a difference between you and your child, no mother and father wants to leave this world after their children, or they don't want their children to leave before them. They want to be the first to go. But I'm here to tell you, it's not this way with the son. It's not a matter of the parent laying down his life for the child, but it's a matter of the child who laid his life down for me and you. He is the son who was offered and was sacrificed. Normally, if you've got a son, he's the child. He's the infant. He's the baby. But not this one. He's the Ancient of Days. He is the Ancient of Days. And normally, if you've got a male child, you call him the Son. And we do call this one the Son. But we go a little further, we call him the Father. He is the it's what he said, the Everlasting Father. And it is this Son. Now just think about that for a moment. It is this Son who is all that I've said to you, all that Isaiah has said. This is the Son, not just on Christmas, but thank God, given to you every day of the year. So I wonder, why do we worry and fret when we possess the Son? The Son who is superior to everything. The Son who is filled with wisdom and the fullness of everything. You've got the Son. Now, I don't know what you're facing today, and I don't know what you're going to face in this year to come. But I do want to say to you fresh and anew, you need to remember this. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and there'll never be anything but what the Son can't take care of it. And rule that if you've got the Son. Because you see, The same Son, listen to this, the same Son that walked on the water 2,000 years ago is the same Son that's given to me. Same Son. The same Son who spoke to the winds and the seas and they lay at His feet is the same Son that can speak to the storms in my life. See, He's there. The same Son that could say to Lazarus, come forth, is not the Son that lived to... He's the Son that's here today. The same Son who could take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and break them and feed the multitude is the same Son in spite of Dow Jones, in spite of the economy, in spite of the failure of the stimulus and all of that other stuff, is still the Son that can take care of the needs of God's people. He's still the Son. And the good news is, He's been given to us. The Son unto us. You say, preacher, you just don't know what I'm facing. No, I don't. But I know a Son that's more than enough. And that's why He was given to you. Not just born for that time and that person, but He's given to us. And all that we'd let the Son do the living, and do the teaching, and do the ruling, if we'd just let the Son have His way, that's why He was given. And hey, children, isn't it so wonderful? Here we are. I thought I was pretty smart when I first got saved, and I decided that I was going. I knew you couldn't know the day or the hour, but I thought, well, surely you can get it within a year or two when the Lord's coming. I was a little 16, 17-year-old boy. I got my pencil out and got to reading prophecy and everything. I got up and I said, well, I don't know when He's coming, but I don't see how He could. It would be after 1970. Now, I didn't make no prediction. I wouldn't know, but up to myself, I remember sitting in, I was in school. I was figuring that out. Like I said, I said, well, praise God, here it is. It's almost 1970, and I saved in 68, and I already figured out when He's coming. Well, now, I didn't say no day, no hour. I just said, well, you know, surely the way I figure this thing out, it looks to me like I ought to be here by 1970. And I'm glad I figured that out. Because then I throw away my pencil. I've never figured out anything else. I just forgot about it. But, honey, I don't have to wait on Him to come. He's already here. There's not going to be somebody come that's got more power than what He's got today. There's not going to be somebody coming that can do something He can't do today. I'm going to tell you, He's the Son, the same Son. I'm going to tell you that's going to come out of glory and ride on that white horse is the same Son that abides within me today. Somebody said, well, I can't wait for the Lord to come, and I can't wait for Him to get us out of all of this, and I understand a measure of that, but honey, what's wrong? Is He not sufficient today? It may be that He wants to show you that He's got the power and the strength and the wisdom to be sufficient now. Say, now, preacher, you want Him to come? Sure, I want Him to come. But I'm going to tell you something. If He don't show up in the clouds tomorrow, I still got Him right here. Huh? Now, I look up every now and then, see if He is coming, and I believe He is coming. That is my hope. I like it. Well, I enjoy it when we all get together, all together. But I'm going to tell you something. I like it when I wake up in the morning and I sense that the Son is there. The S-O-N. And I say, Lord, we got some We got some things today, got some traveling, got some of this, got some of that. He said, well, that's all right, I'm the son. I'll take care of that for you. That's what I'm here for. I'll calm your storms. I'll meet your needs. Because I'm the son. Oh, if we could just get thrilled tonight, not over Christmas. We get thrilled over the sun. Can I say it one more time? For unto us is given the one who can raise the dead. Unto us is given. Say, just wondering. Have you got the Son? Have you got the Son? Have you got the Son? For unto us. Boy, that little old baby, and nobody had a clue that he was the Son. And heaven said, I'm going to give you the Son. Not just a Son, or one of the sons. I'm going to give you the Son. Give you the Son. I'm glad I got him, aren't you?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I need him.
Amen.
But I've found him to be sufficient and faithful. And I like to tell the devil every now and then, you better not mess with me. Because I got the Son. Huh? By the way, has anybody got their stimulus? Well, don't worry about it if you got the Son.